I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
Welcome to the Manchester United Full-Time Devils Takeover here on XS Manchester. My name is John McGrath, and for the next hour, we're going to be speaking about all things Manchester United. I am joined in the studio by two legends, and the smiles are already on our faces, but we're going to be on our best behaviour today, I assure you that. We've got the one and only Webby, who's here every Thursday. Hello, Webby.
Hello, Joe.
And we've got, the mischievous... Hello, Jay. You're back. You survived, Jay.
I'm amazed you're letting me back on, to be honest with you, but I'm on the best behaviour. I'm under orders.
Of course you are. 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say. Let's talk about Manchester United for the next hour. Something he's going to be touching on is McTominay has got a new contract at Manchester United. Is that good news, or will we be kind of regretting that down the line? Rashford, his form has been immense. Can he be better than every single other striker at Manchester United? Is he going to be the golden boy that we look to for years to come? And also the little tie that we've got in the FA Cup. We're going to look at the history of United against Arsenal. So, Webby and Jay, they're going to come up with their memories and their favourite United-Arsenal memories. Why don't you do the same? 87711. Let us know your favourite memories when it comes to Manchester United against Arsenal, and we'll be reading some out throughout the show, as well as some quizzes. I'm going to put you two through your paces tonight. I mean, that was just a breath of deep breath there by Jay, like a past wind. But anyway, that's it. 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say with us here on XS Manchester, gents. So, since the last show, the unbeaten run is still at large. Ollie is still doing his thing over at Manchester United. Big news is McTominay has signed a new deal.
Good.
So that McTominay, let's not forget Jose Mourinho's player of the season, as his manager of the season.
The inaugural Jose Mourinho player of the season award winner.
That he made up at the awards ceremony.
10 minutes before it started, yeah. Didn't
he? He had a great idea then, didn't he? McTominay signs a new contract, and for me, it brings up a couple of points. He is a young talent that we have brought through. We've seen him play. We've brought him through to the first 11. He has had patches of spells playing for United. First things first, Jay, is he a good player?
Overall.
Overall?
Yes. Yes.
Overall?
Overall, in retrospect, no. Listen, he plays for Manchester United for a reason. And regardless of whether you think he's good enough, he's a good player, he's a good young player. And one thing that I always think when it comes to McTominay is, I've heard all this before with his critics, with the likes of Darren Fletcher, with the likes of Jesse Lingard when he was 21, that he wouldn't be good enough. Darren Fletcher always reminds me of that. People said when he used to get in the team, oh, he's Fergie's love child, he's only in there because he's Scottish and all the rest of it. He'll never be good enough. And by 2009, when he got, was it 2009 when he got suspended for the Champions League final, we were saying that was the reason we lost. So, he's young, is he 21, McTominay?
Yeah.
At the moment, 22. He's not good enough for Manchester United's first team, but there's potential there. And it makes a lot of sense for me to give a young player a contract, because I've always said, the problem this season hasn't been your fringe players, your younger players. It's been your core top stars not playing well enough until Ollie took over. So I'm happy for him to get a new deal. I'm not critical of him. I think wait and see what happens with him. Gets a deal. If in a couple of years, when he's 23, 24, he's not kicked on, then you can look like Cleverley or whoever to move him on. But at the moment, it makes sense.
Did it make sense to you, Abby?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, he's been played in out of position a lot of the times. Obviously, the previous manager played him at centre-half, which he never was. Got criticised by United fans, felt sorry for him, but you sign it, you get him on a contract, you know, and then see how it goes. Like, obviously, what Jay said about Fletcher, the criticism that he used to get, and Jay was spot on about, obviously, in that Champions League final when he got sent off at the second leg at the Emirates. We did miss him, not saying we were going to beat that final against Barcelona, but we truly missed him, and he was part of the midfield going through the latter stages of Fergie's career at United. So hopefully he'll push on. I think we should send him out on loan now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Cowden B for Rangers. No, so he gets a good run of games, you know, send him out on loan for the rest of the season or the full season next year and see how it goes. So he'll probably end up at Everton.
Yeah, what's up, Jay?
You sounded really complimentary about him until you said maybe we should send him out to Cowden B. No disrespect to Cowden B.
Have you not seen him play recently?
Are they doing well?
Cowden B? Very well.
All right, I'll stand corrected.
Very well.
Are they?
Very well,
right, okay, then.
Well, McTominay could be going to Cowden B. McTominay is one of those players that, are we not going to look down the line and think possibly he just couldn't make the cut for Manchester United? I mean, he's not a world class player,
but again, you know, how many players are world class at that age as well? And we've seen glimpses of it. Let's not forget, somebody didn't have a shocker last season. All right, he got that award from Jose Mourinho because Jose Mourinho wanted to give someone an award, didn't he? Didn't want the keeper getting it on his own again, and probably wanted to show that he'd give one young player a chance. So we all know what happened, but he's not a terrible footballer. I think he becomes sort of a reason.
He is a little bit limited,
and he's people like to beat players with. Oh, he's indicative of how far we've fallen. Look at, oh, you never would have gotten a Sir Alex Ferguson team. Look at, we've got the likes of McTominay now playing for Manchester United. That's how bad it is. He's a young player. He's a squad player. He shouldn't be first choice. Not even in a million years. But he's a squad player. If he went out on loan, fine. If he's used sparingly in the cups, or if we get a couple of injuries, I'm all right with that. Let's see how it develops. Let's try and nurture him and develop him, like we've done with other young players who at 21 we weren't sure about, and by the time we're in the mid 20s, they come good.
We're going to speak to Dan. He's in Blackburn. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, all right.
Yeah, good, mate. You want to speak for McTominay?
Yeah, I was just going to mention, just listen to you there talking about him. I mean, I think everyone's got reservations possibly about him, but I feel like there's perhaps a bit of a hangover from the fact that he's come through with Jose, and obviously people have got their problems with, or have their problems with him. But I think people are sort of jumping on his back a little bit too much, because there's other players at United who've been given far greater chances, perhaps with more foreign names, that have been allowed to have poor games or not be a bit inconsistent through the age he's playing at now, and we've stuck by them. But a lot of people seem to just be getting on his back when, I'm assuming, I mean, Jose's not there now, so he hasn't given him a new contract. So the people training him are obviously seeing something in him. So I don't know why people don't just sort of back off and just let's see what he can do, really.
The question then,
Dan,
I know what you're saying there, you're right in some of your points, but I think now he's signed, I think obviously, I don't think it'll happen in this window, but I think next year, if he's not going to be in around the first 11, that we have to send him out on loan to a good team and let him have a full year playing football week in, week out. And that'll only bring him on, you know, playing the odd game for us now and again. He's not going to help, like Jay said, the odd cup game, maybe on the bench. We've got to get him to a team which is going to play him. And let's see how he is in 12 months. It'll all bear fruit to Manchester United if he does well.
One thing for you, Dan. Exactly. Oh, go on, sorry.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to mention and bring James this chat. What we mentioned last week is certain players that are coming out of contract. And we mentioned Herrera has not got a long left in his contract, and that we'd loved him here on the show. If you see someone like McTominay getting the deal signed, are you worried then that they might be looking at possibly him as their replacement for Herrera? Or do you think that the contracts will be getting done bit by bit by bit? Because I would rather get, me personally as a United fan, Herrera signed and done for the next couple of years than McTominay at the minute. Now, I might be wrong there, or it might not be your opinion, but for me, Herrera was the first person we needed to get signed up in the midfield role, and then we look at McTominay.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree on that point. I mean, for me, Herrera is one of the few players that are around at the moment who feels like he's he's Manchester United through and through. You know, even though he's been going through this contract negotiation and he possibly could be leaving, every time he does an interview, everything he says in the interviews is all about Manchester United. That mentality, whereas some players who've recently been a bit on the fence, perhaps about whether they're going to be still here or not, have been a little bit iffy in interviews and stuff. You never get that with Herrera. You feel like he loves the club and he wants to be here no matter what's going to happen, and until the day he's not here, kind of thing. So yeah, 100%. I agree with you. I mean, I'd love to keep Herrera, and that would be probably more important, but maybe wrongly, because yeah. Who knows? Maybe McTominay could turn out to be, absolutely great. I think, yeah, exactly. You never know. I mean, I just think that there's other players who've been allowed to have, poor patches of form and perhaps even go out on loan places numerous times, and we've still kept hold of them. And this lad's barely played any games, and a lot of people have just written him off. I feel like it's the association with Jose that's really pushed that.
Yeah. Dan, thank you very much for your call, mate. 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say on the full-time Devils phone in. That is 0345 111 7625. So what did you make about a point I brought up then? Surely maybe getting Herrera signed sealed is better than McTominay?
Well, they shouldn't be mutually exclusive. I mean, for starters, Cowden Beef are fifth in League Two, so I don't know what you're on about. Loaning him to... I've just Googled
it. Must have made corned beef.
Send him to Cowden Beef. There's a good apprenticeship for a United player. Fifth in League Two in Scotland. Anyway, I don't think they should be mutually exclusive. The day that a club the size of Manchester United can't tie down Ander Herrera and Scott McTominay is a pretty sad state of affairs.
Jay, we spoke about it last week, under Fergie. We would 18 months.
Agreed.
You had to be signed, you know what I mean? Or you were gone.
Wouldn't let it go down to the wire.
No,
like
you don't let it go down to the last year, even if mostly they've got the year option, which, how good he is, and how good he has been since the manager changed. So we should be pushing hard now.
What worries me as well, you're right, because if we don't get Champions League football, let's say we let it drag on to the summer or to the end of the season, we haven't got Champions League football. Clubs that have got Champions League football look at him and say, he could do a job for us. They offer him a big deal. Come and play for us, maybe in Spain or wherever. Play Champions League. He's going to be tempted. He could be tempted. We do it now. You say, right, listen, you've been an integral part of this team. We want to get you down. Long term, this is probably, 27? It's probably going to be his last big contract. Get him signed up, and then we can look to build. Because the worst thing that can happen for United now, in my opinion, is to lose the players that we've got that we rely on now. Because we need to build, we need to add, not lose players that are important to us.
You look at last year's thing with Fellaini, how we let it go down and he made a mug of us, didn't he? And you can't fault the player.
No player's going to get the best deal, he can. It's our fault for doing an Arsenal and letting it go, like you said, Webby, down to the wire. Because, as you mentioned earlier, under Fergie, it was done under Gill. David Gill
wouldn't have happened.
There was no messing. No messing.
You
never heard this.
You signed, you went, simple as that, and we got money for you.
Easy as that. Get your thoughts in about McTominay. 877-111-0345-111-7625. We're here for till 7 o'clock talking all things Manchester United. Today the news broke that United are no longer the richest club in the world, Jay. I mean, as fans, it steals the headlines, doesn't it? It steals the newspaper. They all talk about United not the richest club in the world. How much that really affect us as fans? Are we that bothered about it?
Well, it's almost a bit depressing to me when you hear we're the richest club in the world, and you think Bournemouth have spent more on transfers than us this season, and you look at the amount of money that's been taken out of the club by the owners, and you just think, where's all that money going anyway? It's not going into the transfer market, it's not going into rebuilding the squad. And yes, I know people are going to say, oh, we spent 400 million or whatever under Jose, but you look at City, who finished 19 points above us last season, go out and break their transfer record for Riyad Mahrez, and we buy Fred, Diego Dalot, who's a good, long-term option. Dalot, I'm not knocking him, and a third-choice keeper. It's not enough. So we need to see more investment. Whether we're the third richest or the richest doesn't matter. What we need to see is more money being spent on players. With the right manager, I get that, because people go, Jose was wasting money on... So, yeah, we need to get a manager in and back him in the transfer market. So going in, back to your question, Joe, I'm not really fussed with third, fifth or whatever. I just want to see the team being invested in.
Nothing to be fussed about, is it, whatever?
Don't get me going on that board. Don't get me going on that board. You know what my thoughts are.
The X-ray version.
Yeah. No, he's right. What Jay says, it doesn't really affect the fans. Obviously, it does when you see teams who are outbidding us for players. You know, it does get you a bit. But like you're saying, we're not going to see any of that money. You know, it's not really going to give anything back to us, the fans. So. Long it may continue that the poor get richer and get poorer.
Yeah, it's almost like a double-edged sword, because you know the club keep making money, the owners are going to keep taking it out and keep hold of the club, and it's a bit, you know, that's saddening, because I think we all agree we want to see someone else come in.
Yeah, indeed. So you've obviously got the top of the list goes Real Madrid, then Barcelona, then we're third underneath Bayern Munich. So I'm guessing what we're thinking, we've done no deals in this January transfer window. Possibly we could make some signings in the summer, big signings in the summer, but still the big pot of money might be going on the manager we get. So, but what we want is just them to put their hands in their pockets, don't we?
You look at, I mean, it's using an example, you look at that mob down in M62, what they did was they got a young manager in and he stuck with him and he backed him, and it wasn't all rosy. There was people questioning him a year ago, even even when we went there and we got the 0-0 before then, people were saying he's the right man for the job, but they backed him and he stuck with him, and now it looks like it's paying dividends. And that's what we need to do, is get a manager in, hopefully a good young manager, whether that's Ollie or you bring someone else in, and back him, and not just back him for a season or one transfer window and then think, oh, hang on a minute, give him, you know, get a strategy in place where you think, right, this is what the long term vision is, and give him the money to do that, because let's face facts, you need to spend money now, even whether United or whoever. You've got to invest, because other clubs are, and City are always going to invest, Liverpool investing, Arsenal sort of.
You look at what Jay said, then it's spot on, because obviously he's been there for so many seasons, got criticism off press and some fans who I know.
Yeah.
But then he addressed his problem, and he addressed it in the summer. He went out big and bought two positions, which they were poor.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, unfortunately, it's looking good for him. Hopefully it won't come May. But he's done right, and now that's what United have got to do. Whoever the manager is, they've got to back him for 3 or 4 years and then say, right, this is where we're at now. Have we improved? Have we not improved? But you've got to back him and stick with him.
You've got to give him a chance as well to get one or two things wrong and try again. Like, you look at Guardiola, he brought in Claudio Bravo. They didn't say, right, that's it, that's your lot. He said, listen, after a season, he's not the right one. Bring in Edison, okay. So I'm not saying you go out and buy, you know, they spend money, it's a disaster, and then you just keep throwing money at them. But you've got to give them a little bit of leeway, instead of just saying, like we have done with the three previous managers, no, you're not good enough, get rid. Because then you get another manager coming in, buying all these new players. So we needed to think a bit more long term.
Right, 87711 if you want to have your say, or give us a call, 0345 111 7625. Got to take a little break, but this text just in. Hey chaps, love the show, they always say that on the train, so can't call in. Make sure you call in next week. I'm so happy with the start that Ollie has had to this football club in such a short space of time. He's made me love football again, but I'm very confused about the McTominay news, as I honestly thought he'd be out of the door. I think making the top four rest on centre back coming in, Jones and Smalling are not good enough. We can see too many chances. Any thoughts on that text? From unknown, who are you? Let us know next time.
He makes some good points, but I think, you know, I'm hoping that we're not going to rely on Jones and Smalling, to be honest with you. I'm hoping Lindelof and hope maybe Eric Bailly can
for me now. It's Lindelof.
Lindelof's been really good anyway,
and somebody else at the moment. He's got the position and he's playing well. You can't knock the lad. It was a bit of a shaky start, but he looks great.
Yeah, definitely.
He looks good, so it's either him and someone else. Can you rely on Phil Jones? He is playing well at the moment, but he's got a mistake in him. He's got a mistake in him, Jay, a big mistake, even, like the cup final, giving a penalty away. Newcastle,
a couple of moments.
Smalling's disappeared since he signed a new contract. We don't know where he's gone. You know, when Sammy Rojo, he's not fit enough, you know what I mean? And I like him on the day, but we do need someone in. Will it happen in January? I can't see it.
Arsenal against Man United, the game tomorrow, we're going to be previewing that. But before that, we've got a little quiz coming in for you. Are you ready for this one?
Right.
I'm going to give you a little break. You've got 4 minutes to get this, right?
Right, go on.
So, one of the biggest in the United and Arsenal history, the biggest win was obviously United 8-2.
Yeah.
Right, you ready?
Name that team.
Very simple. I'm going to give you 4 minutes. You've got a name.
Between us.
Can we do it together?
No. You've got to do it. All right, go on then. Do it together. Do it together.
Yeah, we'll do it.
You've got to name the starting 11 for Manchester. Easy.
Easy.
Can you do the same? 87711. Name that team with the gents and myself talking all things Manchester United. We'll continue right after this.
Excess Manchester. Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the Full-Time Devils Takeover. My name is Joe McGrath and we're speaking Manchester United till 7 o'clock today. And make sure if you missed any of the show, you get the podcast just by searching Manchester United Football Social. I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Jay. How are you, Jay?
I'm good,
who's been sort of, you know, well-behaved. Jay Motta Zed on Twitter, if you want to just check him out.
It is time, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously,
to throw something in. Yeah.
Webby Uzi every Thursday as well. Right, it's Manchester United against Arsenal. It's the big FA Cup game that's happening tomorrow. First of all, I know Webby's fuming. You don't like FA Cup matches on a Friday.
Obviously, the money's it's changed now. It should be 3 o'clock, but there you go. But Friday night down there, it should have been Saturday tea time, maybe Sunday dinner time, you know, 2 o'clockish, but... FA, they pay the money so they can't moan. It's the fans who suffer.
We'll get more to the actual preview of the game before. We wanted to bring up some Manchester United against Arsenal memories. And where better to start than Manchester United 8, Arsenal 2. I asked you to name the starting 11 before the break. Now, you've been working together as a team, haven't you?
Yeah, we're together.
How was the teamwork, Jay? Was it good?
It was good. Yeah,
no communication. Well, right. Who was the dominant one?
My memory's shocking. I can't even remember what day it is, let alone who played in 2012, whatever it was.
So this is all you, everybody. Yeah.
Right, I helped a little bit. I said I got the hay.
Right, okay, are you ready to play?
Name that team.
Let's go with the goalkeeper, Webby.
Spanish Dave was in nets.
We'll tick. Go on then, to get the next one.
Patrice
Everett, you are correct.
Where have we gone? Johnny Evans, Chris Smalling, centre half. Philippe Jones, right back.
Philippe Jones. Yep.
We have the midfield of Ashley Young, Tom Cleverley, Anderson, and we've gone for Nani.
Just repeat the first two.
Cleverley, Anderson.
Cleverley, Anderson. Would you believe it? But you are correct. And then who?
Ashley Young.
Ashley Young. Yeah.
We've gone for Nani.
Yeah.
We've gone for Welbeck.
Yeah.
We've gone for Rooney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Get in.
Would you believe it? Put a round of applause there.
Hey.
Right, full house, well done. So let's just have a chat about an actual Arsenal Manchester United memory, Webby. For you, that one holds up there for me. Just couldn't believe it. 8-2. What about yourself? Arsenal United Manchester.
Semi-final replay, Villa Park on my birthday. Giggs' goal, treble year, what a night, you know, to be behind that as you're watching Giggs running and out and doing a body swerve with him, you know, and to put that in the back of the onion bag with 10 men, you know, what a night. on the pitch celebrating with all the Reds, it was a great night. There's loads really, but you look at that one, you know, and what we went on to do after that, you know, winning a treble, which has never been done since, never will be done in my eyes, you know. And it was a great night, you know, against a very, very good Arsenal team.
Who was better during the old game, Arsenal United?
United.
Yeah? So you deserved to win?
All day, Joe.
All day. Yeah. Jay, your memories, Arsenal United against United?
One of my first memories, earliest memories as a kid, was a 21-man brawl that they had when they all got points deducted for fighting each other.
I remember, it started
Brian McClair and Nigel Winterburn had a bit of a ding-dong. And then it escalated, and I think the only one who didn't get involved was David Seaman because he couldn't be bothered running from his goal to get involved. But every single player on the pitch, and what made me laugh is if you watch it, it's like a proper fight. And at the end of it, the referee booked one of them, Nigel Winterburn, and carries on.
Yeah.
He just had Royal Rumble. Gives out one booking. The game would have been abandoned nowadays.
If you speak to Chucky about it, he told a great story about it, but you need to speak to Chucky, that's brilliant. And also, there's other games what you look at. You look at the Lee Shaw, Patrick in the Ivory, you know, the League Cup game. I was there that night, you know.
That's a 6-2,
6-2, and they got it back to 3-2 with 3-0 up.
And that was a dominant Arsenal team on it.
So, Ibrick, you know, Smith, Mersons, you know, people like that, Adams in his prompt.
How big was that rivalry, though? That rivalry was just...
It came about, you're talking now, Webby, about the early 90s, late 80s, but, I mean, our kid's 10 years younger than me, and he's got a big thing about Arsenal, because when he was growing up, it was always Arsenal United. I think it was seven or eight years, it was just us two that won the title.
Yeah.
And one of my fondest memories as well was 2004. When I had the Invincibles, and we did them in the semi-final, Roy Carroll.
Yes.
I remember that as well. Sorry, we've just got the brawl on YouTube here, so I'm just watching it, and it does proper kick off. I've seen it, like, unbelievable.
I'm watching that as about 10, thinking that's what will happen every week. That's normal. I've never played football.
I mean, you don't get that anymore, do you? Sort of fight, but you can still see the in players such as like Herrera and Rashford, maybe you can still see that sort of not anger necessarily, but that fight in them. And that,
Rashford, you love seeing that. You do, you like to see. I mean, Herrera would have been rolling around for about 6 weeks after getting involved in that. Let's have it right. But Rashford, I like that about Rashford. I mean, I know sometimes it boils over with sort of the sending off, was it against Burnley?
Yeah,
we don't want that. But we get it. He plays with a bit of an edge and he doesn't take any grief. And he gets kicked a lot, Marcus Rashford. And you want him to be able to stick up for himself. You know what I mean? We all like players like that, don't we?
Yeah. Let's speak about Rashford then. Let's go into more detail. Sorry, yeah, I just saw the two bookings as well there.
Two
little bookings.
Sorry, I thought it was one.
In that absolute brawl. Marcus Rashford, he's a player that's just come on. He's done well this season, but he seems to be given that sort of extra boost when Ollie's taken over. He's incredible for his age, still only 21 years old. There's a lot of questions about how good he can be. A certain Sam Allardyce touched upon him yesterday. He said he could burn out by the age of 30.
That's what he said. That's Sam who managed England for 5 minutes.
We discussed that on the show yesterday, so listen to the Wednesday Club if you want to know about that. But in your eyes, do you see a future striker for Manchester United that'll be there for years and years and, you know, get the ball in the back of the net?
Well, I hope so, obviously. But I think with Marcus Rashford, he's one of the few players that emerged from under Jose unscathed, if you will, because I thought he actually played really well towards the end of Jose's reign, when he was arguably the only player, maybe De Gea as well, that he put a shift and he was playing well. He didn't seem to lose any of his confidence, and he's just obviously kicked on under Ollie. And if you think of a coach who can get the best out of Rashford, you can't think of anyone better than Ollie when it comes to sort of finishing and whatnot. I think the only question with Rashford has been, yes, long term, is he's going to be as good as we hope he can be, and where's his best position? I mean, he can potentially play anywhere. He can play left, right, down the middle. I like to see him as a striker. I think when he first burst onto the scene for the first team, I know at youth he played in different positions, for the first team we saw him in and around the box a lot. I like seeing him doing that. So in answer to your question, I think long term he could be the answer. I think he could have a great career ahead of him. He seems to have everything you want. He's got the physicality, he's got the pace, he's got the skill, and his finishing seems to be improving. So long may it continue.
You're spot on, Jay. Obviously, he was playing a lot out on the wing, you know, and for me, his best position was down the middle, you know, where he started off. But if he wasn't scoring the goals, he'd put a shift in. And I think that's what Mourinho liked. He was tracking back, he was out, and he was still doing it. Now with centre-forward, you've seen him running back and he's chasing lost cause. And obviously, we want him up front to score the goals. But for me, he's come on leaps and bounds under Solskjaer, and long may it continue. He proved that his goal against Brighton, the way he took that, you know, it was classic goal, you know. And I think Lukaku's going to be struggling to get back in, you know. I think Lukaku will play tomorrow night, but I think his number one striker now, number nine, is Marcus Rashford.
Definitely. I think he's going to get confidence as well from having a manager who not only puts him down the middle, but also lets him have a 90 minutes now and again. Because the thing with Mourinho, when he did play him as a striker, he'd sub him money or he'd move him around. Ollie seems to give him a lot more game time and also give him a game time in the right position. But it seems that he prefers being centre forward. You'd expect so.
Before we go into an in-depth preview of Arsenal against Manchester United, coming in the final section of the show, just some other news that's floating around about Manchester United. Unfortunately, I don't know if you saw, but PSG game last night, Neymar.
Oh, he's got his sister's birthday off again, hasn't he? Neymar. He loves that February off, doesn't he?
Does he always have February off?
If you look back, last 3 or 4 years, he's got injured and he's gone partying with his sister.
Has he? Neymar picked up an ankle injury yesterday. This is all in the build-up to Manchester United's game against PSG in the Champions League.
Phil Jones would be like that now.
Might have his fit or not. No. Phil Jones will have him, don't worry about that. He'll have him in his back pocket.
So that is obviously all the news for Manchester United building up to that game. Do you think it makes a difference if he plays or not?
Right, it does. Yeah.
It's only Mbappe and Cavani now.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's going to be two really hard games. But as a fan, you want to see these players at your ground. You know
definitely.
What I mean? The best player I've seen non-United player at Old Trafford was Messi. When we beat him 1-0, scored his goal.
You know what?
Could not get near him. To see him live was unbelievable. And then I want to see these players come to my ground. You know what I mean?
Do you know what? You're right. I remember the Ronaldo hat-trick. Yeah. Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, he got a standing ovation for knocking us out of the Champions League. Yeah. He does that. Just amazing. He had everything.
Gil wasn't clapping, was he? Our young baby Eddie, they wasn't clapping. The only team in the ground. But you spot him on the stage. You see these players on the telly in World Cups, and you want them to come and play at your club, you know, see him live in the flesh, because you won't get a chance again, you know. No. So, hope he gets fit and he plays and Phil Jones does him.
Come on, Jonesy. Also, talking about the director of footballer role that's been rumoured so much about United. I mean, it's been coming for ages, hasn't it, Jay?
Yeah.
But someone's thrown a name in the hat. Edwin van der Sar has been out and about, just the rumour circling. He wants the job. A bit more concrete to that, as he hinted at it earlier this week. I mean, Edwin van der Sar, you give someone director of football. Who do you want? That's what kind of person do you want?
I want someone who can stand up to the board. Yeah. Who can work with a manager. Like you see, I hate keeping referring to our rivals, but you look at what goes on down at City. That, you know, they've obviously got a system that works there with Tiki Bergistan, or whatever his name is, and he works with Guardiola, and they're both football men, and they both understand the club and what their goals are. Edwin van der Sar, it was a bit of a left field one for that, mate, when his name kept popping up. I thought, yeah, he's a legend, but how come he's the one? But maybe it's got some legs to it.
Has he not got a position at Ajax at the moment?
I think so.
I know Ajax is, no disrespect to Ajax, but not as big as United, but let's get him in. He's well liked at United, you know what I mean? I think he'd do a great job, but it's all these top clubs now, Jay. They've all got one, and we haven't, so.
It's funny how Jose's now insisting he wanted one.
Imagine how we should get Jose as the new director of football at Manchester United. I just think that'll go down. Right, gents, so talking about Arsenal against Manchester United, so I've organised a little quiz for us. Are we ready for a bit of a quiz? This is the quiz music, is that all right?
I thought we'd done it.
That was just a warm-up, mate.
All right, okay.
I've spent hours on this. Here we go, Manchester United against Arsenal, a full time, the big quiz. Look at them, the two of them just don't look bothered at all. Like they want to be anywhere else but here.
Taking turns, or what? How's it work?
No, you've got to keep this answer to yourself. You're against each other now. In all competitions, who has scored the most goals combined?
What do you mean?
For United against Arsenal. In all competitions, who scored the most goals? Which player?
Who scored the most goals in all competitions against Arsenal?
No, against Arsenal.
Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, go on then.
I'm going to guess at Rooney.
Who are you going to go for?
Van Nistelrooy.
Van Nistelrooy, Jay. You are correct, unfortunately, Webby.
Hey, get out of town. Wazza does it again.
Wazza does it again. In the first meeting between Arsenal and United was all the way, way, way back. It was an epic 3-3 draw.
Was that?
What was the year? What was the year, Jay?
What was the year? The 3-3 draw?
Yeah. The first ever meeting.
It was April, I think.
That's the 14th. Month. That's the year.
I'm going to go 1907.
Okay. 1907. What are you going to go for, Webby?
I'll go the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
1913.
Oh, Jay, you are closest, so I'm going to give you the point. It was 1894, the first meeting.
Hey. I was there.
You ran on the pitch again, didn't you? It was 3-3. In the matches between Arsenal and United, between February 97 to February 2005, how many red cards were given out?
It's between when, sorry?
February 1997 to February 2005. Webby, you're going to go first on this one.
Three.
What are you going to go for, Jay?
I'm going to go higher. 4.
You've done Webby right in there. Webby, unfortunately, you're wrong. It was 7, so Jay's the closest. You should get both. What's up, Webby? You should get...
I've been had there,
You've been had there. He's had
this.
You.
This is easy.
United against Arsenal, they beat the... United ended Arsenal's invincible run.
Yeah.
Who scored the two goals?
Who scored the two
goals? Go on, tell me.
Rooney penalty. and Paul Scholes.
Rooney penalty and Paul Scholes? What are you going for?
I know one was a Rooney penalty.
There is one more name I need.
Is it Luis Saha?
No, I'll tell you who it was.
No, go on. Webby wants to change his answer.
Hold on. Juan Sebastian Verón.
What?
Van Nistelrooy.
Van Nistelrooy.
How many guesses is he having here? Giggs, Scholes.
What is your final two from you, Webby?
Rooney penalty. Van Nistelrooy, Paul Scholes.
I'm gonna go. I know it was Van Nistelrooy penalty. I'll go Van Nistelrooy and Ji-Sung Park.
Ji-Sung Park. You off your head?
I've got to give him a chance.
Right, you've only got one. You've both got Van Nistelrooy correct. If you didn't figure that one out,
was it Saha?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't Saha. One more answer for the win. This winner takes all.
Giggs,
and who are you going for, Webby?
Scholes.
I can tell you it was Wayne Rooney. So both of
you. Alan Smith crossed it for
him. Alan Smith crossed. Oh, he remembers now, doesn't he? He didn't remember it mattered.
Oh.
I think Jay won that. Well done, Jay.
Yeah, well mate, you could have had that then.
Well done, Jay.
Yeah. Oh, do we get anything?
No. Right, this is the XS Manchester Football Social. Right, a big preview of the game that's happening tomorrow, mentioning players that have travelled and the players that who haven't. This is the full-time Devils takeover. Webby and Jay previewing Arsenal in the FA Cup tomorrow is coming up right after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the final part of the show. We are talking Manchester United for about we've got about another 15 minutes, so that's a perfect amount of time to talk about Manchester United against Arsenal. Some Arsenal-related news. I know it's a United fan show, but Thierry Henry has been suspended from his job as Monaco manager. I don't know what that kind of means. They're going to decide on his future, but you know, as an ex-Arsenal striker, we thought we'll bring it to you. We'll have a bit of a laugh there, couldn't we? I'm with Webby and Jay for this final part. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello,
Jay, you shine off your trophy there that you just won. Mate, United against, you know, Arsenal quiz
against
champion.
Many against
boys there, wasn't it? Poor showing by me.
Proper good hiding, that.
Yeah, proper good hiding. Make sure if you've missed what we're talking about, we did a quiz for Arsenal and United, and you can get the podcast Manchester United Football Social. Search that wherever you get your podcast from, and then just give us a download, and then give us a rating as well. How much do you think you should be rated today, Jay?
Out of what?
A five. Stars.
I'll tell you tomorrow when the abuse starts rolling in on Twitter, then we'll pass to
us. Nothing controversial yet.
Yes, I'm watching myself.
We've got 11 minutes to go, yeah. So it could happen.
There's still time.
Oh,
United against Arsenal. It is down at the Emirates. It's going to be a kickoff on the BBC, so you all get to watch it. It is Friday night, which is kind of, 50-50, whether you don't kind of like that. It's not the classic FA Cup way, but it's not really about it anymore. It's going to be difficult for some of the fans to get back, isn't it? Is the last train gettable?
No, the last train is not gettable, plus also the motorway is shut.
Happy days then, I suppose.
So it's a re-round trip of about 30 miles, so you're probably looking, time you get away from there, probably looking at getting back into Manchester about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Absolutely disgraceful, but there you go. They've had the money, so we can't complain. And it was the biggest draw what was made in the round of the cup. So it was down to the telly. BBC have first option. Bang, Friday night. There you go.
They've had us over with tickets as well, haven't they?
Well, there's, and we were speaking about it before. Obviously, if there's a draw, Then obviously replay at Old Trafford, and Arsenal demanded the full 9,000. Now I'd stick him up in tier three.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Taste their own medicine.
Yeah, but it's not happened because you know what? United as a club will fold and give them what they need, but that's another show that.
Indeed. We'll make sure we bring it to you. Right, Manchester United, let's have a look at the squad. So, some news coming out that David De Gea will not be travelling with Manchester United. Now, whether you seemed, I mean, me and Jay had the same sort of feelings on this, but you seem more calm about it, Webby. When I said that, you understood that David De Gea will be rested.
For Tuesday night, more important game, Tuesday night.
But he can play both. He's a
goalkeeper. If he gets in, we've probably got the best backup keeper in the country, Jay. And he deserves a game.
But you remember the Emirates last season, David De Gea.
Yeah, he was. But for some reason, Jay, something tells me that Arsenal are not going really, really strong. They've got a lot of injuries. Yeah. You know, they picked up a bad injury the other night, didn't they? The fullback, who I think is a great fullback, yeah. Bellerin. Yeah. You know, so they're going to miss a match because I think now the FA Cup is that far down the line. It's top four, so whoever they play next week is more important.
I get where you're coming from, but for me, and I've said this on this show since you've had me on, it's about trophies.
Of course,
and it's about us. Yeah, I don't care what Arsenal want
to
do. Let them,
like
if they want to forget about trophies, that leave them to it, more power to them. But I don't. I want to win trophies. I want our clubs to win trophies.
Course,
and the FA Cup's our best chance.
Of course, but you look at it like Liverpool the other week at Wolves. Now all those fans have travelled. Was it a Friday night at Wolves or whatever? Monday night?
Yeah,
and he puts out a team like that for someone who's under pressure to win something. You know, he puts out a team like that and they come unstuck, you know, but then evidence is like, well, we're going for the league, which you can understand, but...
The thing is, right, I could get it if it was, say he rested Marcus Rashford, even though I wouldn't agree with it. I could say, all right, you've got games coming thick and fast, he's a striker. Your goalkeeper can play every 3 days. He can. Especially someone like David Day, who's super fit. He doesn't need to be rested. And I don't think Sergio Romero particularly needs to get a game. I think he understands he's behind the best goalkeeper in the world, and he's all right with that. So it doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, we could be sitting here next week, we could have beat Arsenal 1-0, and Romero could have played really well, and we'll say, oh, you know, happy days. But I just think David Day's such a good goalkeeper. He saves you so many games, and he could be the difference between us not winning a trophy, and then sat here in May, thinking, oh, you know, it's been a wasted season, and lifting the FA Cup and saying it's been a successful season, especially after the start. It's just a gamble not worth taking for me.
I just think United are going to sign out. You think Arsenal might put a slightly weak inside out. How do you think Ollie will approach the game? If up front, you know, Rashford saying he didn't make the trip down.
Yeah, I think Lukaku will play.
So
I think Sanchez will play.
I think they need games, you know, and this game could spur Sanchez on because he's going to get dogs abused by the Arsenal fans. Yeah. And people react to that well, I know if it was me, I'd react in a strong way. I'll show them what I can do. You know, and people going back to the old clubs, it's happened against us. We've had ex-players coming back, aren't in us?
Yeah.
You know, and long mate continue tomorrow, you know, at the Emirates. So I think United will go quite strong. Obviously, the three, I couldn't get that on Phil Jones, hasn't travelled, you know, like he's some kind of superstar now.
Jones.
But you look at Bailey will come in, and who plays at fullback? How bad was Shaw last week? Will he be fit enough to play?
Yeah, he was ill.
He'll be fit enough to play. You know, expecting a good game. You know, expecting us to beat him. I really fancy us. You know, even though it's down there, and we get out of eight, and then we get a decent draw in the next round away.
I think it's good. You know, you mentioned the players there that you got. It's not like, especially up front, it's not like we're talking about players you never heard of. Yeah. Alexis Sanchez and Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah,
you know, even though Lukaku's had his problem, he's still a £75 million striker.
Yeah, he still is.
20 odd goals last season.
What do you think Lukaku is in his mind when he sees Rashford, this young United player who's doing well, who's scoring goals, who is a mank, who's loved by the fans? When he sees him, do you think that motivates him, or do you think he's that type of player?
I think he might demotivate him. You know, and I think
not good though, is it?
It was telling at the weekend as well, because he was going to come on, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they got a goal back. And all he sent him back to the stands.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that plays on his mind, it's like, hang on a minute, well, it's a bit close, we'll bring you on in a bit when it's a bit safer or whatever. Yeah. I don't know the sort of ins and outs here. But I think he does. I've said this all season. For me, Lukaku looks, he doesn't look like he's lazy, he looks like he's lost confidence.
I also think, Jay, obviously, with the centre forwards, the goals they bring, the more confidence, the more they feel happy in the team around the play. And if you're not playing, you're not scoring goals. I think that doesn't help as well, you know. And I think he's one of those players who needs an arm around him, you know, wants to be in the headlines, you know. And you can't not Rashford at the moment, you know. Rashford is a number one striker at United end of at his present moment of time. Now, Rashford could get injured, could get suspended. We need someone to come in. So that's why he's got to play tomorrow and still prove to the manager and the fans that he's hungry enough to play for this year, which I don't think is a problem, but he needs needs to play and he needs to score.
And if there's one striker that knows about being a fringe striker and making it count, it's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So, you know, he'll be telling him, listen, doesn't matter whether you're starting or not, you're an important part of this team.
Go and put a problem in my head for Tuesday night. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Looking at the point of view from the manager, Ollie's got this FA Cup coming up. Yeah, he's got a big old game on Tuesday in the Champions League. But realistically, does he
Burnley.
They wish to in the Champions League.
No, yeah, they wish to in the Champions League. He's got a game on Burnley.
Then like, we got saying it's like a foreign country.
I'm thinking about Paris Saint-Germain game. So I'm just saying there's two cups he can win.
Yeah.
The Premier League's out of reach. Does he see him winning a cup? Because he wants a United job, let's not lie.
Yeah.
He wants to be Manchester United manager. And there's nothing that would help him more than a bit of silverware.
Yeah.
So does the FA Cup help him more, or does a good run in the Champions League? I mean, it could be very difficult for us to win the Champions League. If anything, it would be a miracle.
Yeah.
But winning the FA Cup is more doable. So is he not going to just throw a bit more towards the FA Cup?
I'd have thought so. I mean, let's face facts. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the easiest trophy to go for. It's the one you're most likely to win. We can beat any English team on our day. Mm. On our day, we did it last season. Yeah. We even beat City at the Etihad. We can do it. We can beat any team on our day. So English team. So yeah, I think that you were looking.
Just had to say that in case someone clipped it up. Gonna edit that bit out.
Here we go. Let's not start going down that road again. Eh? There's only so many hours in a day I can respond to Twitter abuse. But in the Champions League, you look at if we got past Paris Saint-Germain, I think that's an achievement in the Champions League, considering where we're. But in the FA Cup, getting knocked out to Arsenal would be a massive disappointment.
Mm, it really would. That's why I was wondering if he's going to just, you know, put a bit more to it, because we all do love a bit of a cup run. But like you say, David De Gea has been rested. Rashford's not going up, but I can understand that as a young player, he needs a bit of time. We just got to sit back and watch how it goes.
I think, like you're saying, the rest of the team will pick itself, you know. Even though Tuesday night, because maybe one more, say Matic might come out and not play on Tuesday night, have him on the bench. But I still think we'll go stronger than Arsenal, the starting 11, you know. I think they're
What about Arsenal? What about you said, Jay, just before we came in, they had a bit of a rough patch, didn't they? When they
started
back. It's weird, isn't it, Rats? They had a 22 game unbeaten run. And at the end of it all, they ended up like, they were fifth or something, weren't they? It was like, unbelievable. It's amazing how they did it. You can have that longer run and not be higher than they were, but I know a lot of it was in the cups and whatnot. But I think with Arsenal, they sort of flattered to deceive a little bit.
I think also
they're still waiting for Emery to really truly stamp his personality on that team. He's sort of done it a little bit, but I think he's obviously had changes. Like, he's going to make changes, and I think there's because they've had Wenger there for so long, it's going to take a little bit longer. We know they've not had the investment that they've wanted.
I think the problem is at Arsenal, they must get back in the Champions League this season. You know, after being it every single year, because like we drop out, say Chelsea and Liverpool, they've been in it, 22 years, whatever, on the bounce, and they've gone out of it, and the fans weren't happy. They stayed away with the feet, you know. A lot of the games last year, they reckon it was
shocking.
Only half full, you know.
It was behind closed doors.
Let's get it wrong, Arsenal are a big, great club with a great tradition and great history in league and cup competitions, and the Thursday night was like, it doesn't bear well with their fans. So I think if you asked an Arsenal fan, what would they rather want is top four than FA Cup.
But do you think that maybe they're in Europa, aren't they?
Yeah.
They could do what we did, couldn't they, under Jose?
That's
a good route for them into the Champions League, because let's face facts, Jose put all his eggs in that basket in about December.
He's give up gamble, though, isn't it?
It is a gamble.
Could have taken because he knows what he's doing.
Some big teams coming into it now, though. Yeah. We're quite lucky with a draw, weren't we? All the way through. And you're looking at the Arsenal team, what they've put in there, it has been a very, very young team, really. But will they swap it if they get later in the competition? And that prize at the end of getting in the Champions League, if you like, did the United did well behind fourth. But let's see what teams both get picked on. It'll be interesting.
Gents, little score prediction, Webby.
3-1.
3-1. That's a good prediction,
Jay. I'll go with 8-2, United.
8-2, United.
I love that. Right, gents, thank you very much. Jay, what's your Twitter for people to follow?
RFFH.
RFFH.
Yeah.
Webby?
United_Webber, and there's no bad comments from me. It's silly.
What do you mean, silly outburst?
It wasn't. You're just saying in general.
Anyway, this has been the Full Time Devils Takeover. Thank you very much, gents, for joining
us.
Thanks,
Joe. Great job as well, Joe.
Josh,
let's not forget you.
Enjoy your gig tonight, Joe.
You've earned it. You've earned
your chicken wings, Joe.
Gents, I will do. Thank you. I'm supposed to be off the chicken wings and the booze. Excess Manchester. You follow them from the stands. You follow them on the telly. You follow them in the pub. And now you can follow United here.
Play my flash briefing.
All the latest Manchester United news is now available as a daily update via your Amazon smart speaker. Just search Manchester Football Social in store now to get the latest news from Old Trafford whenever you want it, without even lifting a finger.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.